About how many orders then are we talking about?
There were Carmelites, Augustinians, Benedictines, Poor Clares, Franciscans, Sepulchrine Canonesses, and the Mary Ward Institute, Dominicans, and one convent of Brigittines. I think that makes eight.
And people were coming from all over England and Wales to go to these colleges abroad and convents.
All over England, the Welsh entrants, that there are a few Welsh entrants, mostly from Monmouthshire, and very few from North Wales. So apart from those two areas, not really, you can't say all over Wales, a few Scottish girls joined the convents, and a few Irish girls also. And then one of the Benedictine convents actually became an Irish house at the end of the 17th century. So there are nuns from all over Britain.
And are we able to say much about the social composition, the background that they come from? Are they largely the daughters of the gentry who are also sending some of their sons across the world to be priests?
Some, the convents do seem to have varied a bit in their social composition. On the project, we kept note of fathers' titles, whether they were recorded by the nuns. So we haven't imposed Esquire or Sir or Lord where it doesn't appear in the documents from the convents. So I would say that the majority come from landed backgrounds. What is interesting, I think, is if you look at the marriages, quite a number of marriages were mixed marriages, so Catholic and Protestants. So a number of girls didn't come from a fully Catholic background. And also, we have about 100 converts, which is interesting, mm-hmm. including one daughter of a parish priest. So she moved from one extreme, if you like, to another to follow her vocation. So I think it's one of the differences that it's made is to identify a much more varied group whose daughters were going into enclosed convents than, you know, was previously thought. There are some girls who come from quite poor backgrounds, some from professional families, doctors, other kinds of physicians, and so on, and sometimes servants of households join with the family that they served.
So this is quite revealing then, both about the nature of the Catholic community as we know it in the period, but also about the integration of the Catholic community with other parts of the English and Welsh communities in a sense as well, isn't it, really?
Yes.
Picking up different themes that many people are talking about Catholicism, Catholics not being a separate group in society necessarily,
yes.
An ostracised group. Okay. Can I come to the matter of the time scale, though? I mean, in a sense, is it a fairly even flow of women going across to convents over the period between 1600 and the 1780s?
I've been having a look at that, and I think one of the interesting things is that, you know, you would think that in periods of political difficulty in England, or even the Civil War period, so mm-hmm. violent periods, that would interrupt the flow of recruits going abroad. But actually what you find is that there are variations between the convents, very strong variations. So yes, some convents suffered very badly from in recruiting figures in the 1640s, but other convents were doing quite well. So it means that you've got to look for other reasons and much more complicated reasons for why people were going abroad. I think undoubtedly in the very early years of establishing the convents, the recruiting figures are very high. And a lot of, it seems as if there was a kind of pent-up rush and the young women needed to go abroad. They had, you know, this is what they had been thinking about, waiting for opportunities to join. and then it slows down. But some convents pick up. And what is, I think, very important is to look at what's going on inside the convents. Because parents wanted a well-managed institution to entrust their daughters to. And where there were rows, and there was a particularly sad row that went on over 20 years in the Brussels Benedictines, and in that 20-year period, three girls joined the convent, whereas in the previous decade, they were well into double figures, and in the following decades, recruitment picked up again. And this was true of other convents where there were disputes. And what is quite interesting, looking at governance questions, you know, abbesses didn't want to cover up trouble, but they wanted to make certain that they didn't have difficult candidates, girls who found it hard to fit in, because it was a very disciplined form of life. And if you just couldn't do it, it was better for you not to come. And I've just been recently writing about what we described as the nearly nuns for a time, but we thought we should think of a better way of describing them, the ones who left because it was hard. And they talk, the abbesses and the senior members talk about finding kind ways of saying to these girls, we think perhaps you ought to reconsider your choice, and perhaps you would be happier in the world. So quite a number of them, they found ways round explaining, you know, that her health wasn't quite good enough, or other ways of saying, so that people didn't lose face. And I think that was a good way of dealing with a difficult situation. There were troubles, and some people did find the heavy discipline and the asceticism sometimes more than they could stand. But on the whole, they strike me, having spent quite a long time looking at different kinds of documents, as places of real commitment and places where the creation of texts and fulfilling the religious life, singing, music, and all that kind of creativity which comes out of a community which is well run.